good guy. I am so thankful for the fabulous husband that God gave me. He is a blessing and has blessed our children and led our household in the ways of God, and I am thankful. God is good. Let's just go before the Father for a minute. Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your anointing on our gathering together. Father, your anointing that rests and resides within each and every one of us, the teacher that is present within us to teach, to lead us and guide us in truth and in victory. Father, we draw on the anointing of the teacher today that you would reveal yourself to us, reveal your plan, your purpose, your heart. Father, your healing, your refuge, your comfort. Father, your strengthening and your joy within each one of us. Father, that we would not leave the same, but we leave changed. Father, that we come away from this time blessed and uplifted because your word is life to us. Father, your word is our life, our light, and our strength, and we draw on it today. And I thank you, Father, that you flow through me, that you empower your people to draw on the anointing, because, God, I have nothing to offer outside of you. But, Father, through you, we can do all things, and we can draw on the word of life and be enriched. So we will be careful to give you the thanks and the praise and the honor for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. Today is Mother's Day. And in keeping with the tradition of Pastor Jim, I do not have a Mother's Day message. But I do have some encouragement from the Word for you, moms. And this will also speak to dads. Those of you who are, and those of you who will be, and those of you who know some, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. You know that we are coming into a new season of the kingdom, a new era. It's not just a new year that we started, what is that, 5 months ago? That feels like it was yesterday. Not just a new year, but a new era in the kingdom. Things have shifted. In fact, they actually came to a halt for a little while for many of us. And God said, seek me because you haven't been this way before. So there are new things on the horizon, different things, blessed things. There will be challenges. You will have opportunities to choose right or wrong. You will have opportunities to press in or to coast. And the benefits and the blessings you will receive are largely based on what you will draw on, because they've already been given. He's already blessed us. And he's not saying, sit right there until I get ready to bless you. He's waiting on us to possess those things. And we do that through thanking him, praising him, through obedience, through following where he leads. Amen? That's how God takes care of us. In this new season, I am convinced, it has been in my spirit for a while, and I've heard it from others with a prophetic voice, places that I trust. You can't just listen to everybody. You can't just go on YouTube and say words for 2020 and let it all come in there, because not everybody is speaking from the voice of God, okay? So we want to be careful with that, but I have heard from many different places that God is restoring the family unit, not just his body, not just his children, but the family unit. Mothers and fathers in the home are extremely important, because they each reveal a facet of the parenthood of our Father. And so as our children, as they're babies, they are learning about trust. They are learning about honor. They are learning about who cares for me and who doesn't. They are learning about the different roles in the household. They are learning how to respect their elders by watching their parents. Now, the enemy has gotten a foothold, past tense, had a foothold in the generations that were coming up, and has been able to distort and even destroy the family and what is important. It's no longer just perhaps there was an issue and had to divorce. It happened. Some marriages weren't meant to be. I understand. But now they're deciding, okay, do you want to be the mom or the dad? Pick a role, gender, whatever you want. They're not just allowing their kids to do that. Parents are doing that. The roles have been completely obliterated for what is meant to be in the family, what God intended. And so it is very important, moms, you that have young children at home right now, dads, it's very important that you seek God to know how to instill those proper values in your children, because you are building those walls. Remember we talked last week about walls, the proper boundaries of your soul that help you regulate, that help you be a blessing and withhold things that are not a blessing, that allow things in that are good and keep things out that are bad. Those proper boundaries, walls that we are to have. When there is a distortion in your youth, it makes a breach in that wall and it gives a foothold for the enemy. It could be very small, it could be huge. There are a lot of different ways that those things are breached in our children. Now, before I go any further, I want to offer you good news. Regardless if you are a single parent, if there are issues with the other spouse, God is able to make that up right where you are, right in that moment. There is no reason that your child has to grow up with any breaches, with any problems, because God will restore, He will make up for it and take care of it, okay? So you're covered. If something happened in your life, something happened in your family and it messed you up, maybe you messed your life up, somebody else messed your life up, it doesn't matter. It all came from the enemy and his works have been defeated. So restoration is available for you and for your family right now, right now. It is never too late. I don't care if your child is 34 years old. It is never too late for that restoration. And that's what God is doing. He is restoring the families. And He is raising up those who will step in places where there wasn't a mom or there wasn't a dad, and saying, will you help nurture these? So I'm challenging those of you with wisdom, with experience. You've been there. I'm challenging those of you with the capability. Maybe you've never been a parent, but you can come alongside someone that needs help. God is using us all to restore the family. But I'm telling you right now, those of you who do not have kids, please, please, please understand the young ones that will have kids in the future. Please understand how important the role of parenting is, because you are instilling virtues in them. And I could go off and teach for about 30 minutes on parenting right now, but I'm not going to. But understand that the way those small children view their father in heaven is going to be shaped by you, the parent. I have talked to so many people who have had abusive fathers, and they've said, when people talk to me about God as my father, I am not interested because I've had enough of that kind of father. I don't need that. They don't understand the love, the nurture, the care, and the preparation that God has for them because they saw a bad example. So we have an opportunity everywhere that we go at any age to be an example of the wholeness that our Father gives to us, the way that He repairs us regardless of what we have been through, the way that He restores the family. You could come from the best of families, and yet there are still some breaches in there, because if you don't deal with what's wrong, it gets passed on. It doesn't matter how much you say, my dad was an alcoholic, I don't want to be an alcoholic, I'll never be an alcoholic, I would never do that to my children. Fast forward 15 years, what do you usually see? It's like Job, that which I've greatly feared has come upon me. Because it doesn't happen just by saying, I'm not going to do that. You need repair. There are things on the inside of us, those walls need to be restored. So I just want to encourage you, that's my Mother's Day capsule message. How important, moms, that you are. How important your love and your nurture are. How important your attention, your listening, your training, your caring. How important is your unconditional love. That they messed up again, but you know what? It's okay. We're going to get up and keep going. showing the mercy of our Father. And if you're ever wondering how to deal with your child in a situation, consider how God deals with you. You know, God is merciful when sometimes we just really kind of want revenge, you know. You did that on purpose just because you wanted to make me angry. And then we want to punish. And that's not how God treats us. He loves us, and then he gives us boundaries. He says, let's see if we can learn how to not do that again. So moms, all of you are amazing, beautiful, so appreciated and so loved and so necessary in the kingdom. And the same goes for dads too. Amen? Amen. Okay. So now I'm going to move on. I've kind of got things in pieces today, and we'll see how far we get. I'm not real optimistic at finishing these notes because I don't want to keep you here forever because y'all are going to go home and cook for mom, right? Right? All right. I see some hands. Praise God. Praise God. Taking care of them. There's a word that the Lord gave me back on February the 29th. And he said, I am laying the stones and paving the way for a mighty group of intercessors who will raise up the foundation upon which a worldwide ministry will be built. He was talking about House of the Lord Fellowship Church. He is raising up those who will pray in, those who will birth the next phase, the next move of God. And as we gathered together Tuesday night and we prayed and we sought the Lord, he said, it has begun. It has begun. And I had not shared that, and I think it was Brother Rudy that shared. The Lord showed him that he was laying the bricks. He was laying the bricks. It started, and I was like, that's exactly what God said. I'm laying the stones and paving the way. So it was confirmed what God is doing in our midst. So I want to encourage you, if you didn't make the first one, or if you did make the first one, come to the second one. We haven't established too far in the future when and how often, but for now, this Tuesday night is the next one. From 6:30 to 8, we have a time of a little bit of instruction, not much, maybe 5 minutes, and then just prayer and seeking the Lord, and then we'll come together and share what God is saying. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time to learn to hear the voice of God. Sometimes you pray and you think you heard something, but you're not sure. And you get in a group like this, and after the second person shares, you're like, man, I'm on it. I heard right from God. And you get an opportunity to confirm what God is doing in you. So it's an opportunity to grow in that realm because God will speak to all of us. It's not just for the prophets. It's not just for the fivefold ministry. You are a seer, a prophet in your life. And God will speak to you about what he is doing. And it's an exciting thing when he begins to share with you and then you begin to see it happen and you realize, I'm hearing from God. How fabulous is that? Do you understand how many believers don't? It's kind of scary sometimes to look at that. We have the opportunity to have an audience corporate with the Most High God. So come Tuesday. Amen? It was great. So we've been talking about prayer and laying a foundation with the goal being towards understanding and coming into intercession. It's something that God told me to teach, so I am not up here, you know, at anybody else's request or trying to share something that I know or look smart or anything. I'm being obedient to God because he said do this. Intercession is not something that you see much in the church anymore. In fact, intercession in its deepest form often involves crying, groaning, tears. It can get a little bit noisy. It doesn't have to get weird, but it can get a little bit noisy. And I don't know if you've noticed, but churches don't really want that anymore. They don't even want you praying in tongues in the General Assembly, much less going into something that would be as demonstrative as intercession because that's an interruption, right? Remember our prayer? Do y'all remember? God, interrupt us at any time. Please, by your spirit, your anointing, your will, interrupt us at any time. I want to be interrupted by the anointing and the plan of God. If he wants to go a different way, bring in something new, I am for that. But often when he is bringing in something new, he's doing it through those who are praying. They are birthing. They are bringing, whether it's bringing in the lost or bringing in a new move for a church, a new place, a higher plane, comes through prayer, seeking him, getting alone with him. So that's the foundation that we are laying. We talked about why we pray, that God has put made us in charge in the earth, put man in charge of the earth, and we are the ones who must decree his will in the earth. We talked about praying with humility, humbling ourselves with compassion, seeing with the eyes of faith as we continue to pray for what we don't see with these eyes. We continue to press in. Amen? Y'all out there? Do y'all need to stand and stretch a little bit or something? Is everybody okay? Y'all are awfully quiet. Okay. Okay, if you need a break, just, you know, stand up and stretch. I won't mind. But so we're going to talk some more about prayer, about some of the ways that we are instructed to pray. And we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'm reading from the Amplified Classic, which is my favorite. The Classic was the original Amplified. And I've been reading that since I was very tiny. Before most people had heard of it, my mom had a four-volume collection of the New Testament in the Amplified, just called the Amplified then. And it's beautiful because they did go back to the Greek and Hebrew for the most part and give you fuller understanding of each word. For that reason, it's a lot longer, so I may shorten a bit. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I'm just going to read through it. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and he says, "First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way, for such is good and right and pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly." Whew, that's a lot. I'm going to read it again. "To perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the truth." Amen. So Paul is writing Timothy here to give him instruction in regards to his appointment as a pastor there in Ephesus and staying there and continuing the work of the ministry. You kind of get the sense that Timothy had some challenges and needed some encouragement. So Paul is coming alongside him. If you look in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul he gives an introduction, his greeting, his introduction, what he's doing, who he is, and why he's doing what he's doing. And in verse 5, he says, "The reason that I'm giving you this instruction is out of love, springing forth from a pure heart and a clear conscience and sincere faith." Out of love. Remember, we talked about everything that is done in the kingdom of God must flow out of love, not out of selfish desire, not out of irritation. Would you please just get it together? Everything is done. Correction, instruction, encouragement comes from a heart of love. And that is where he is starting with and instructing Timothy. So chapter 1 is the intro, the things he wants to encourage him in, and chapter 2 begins that actual encouragement or exhortation. So I want you to look there at verse 1. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "First of all." First of all. Later on, he talks about bishops and deacons and what's important and what's unimportant and even what's useless. But in verse 1, he says, "First of all." So what is it that we are to do first of all? Petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving on behalf of all men. Now, when we look at those words, if you want to look at that in the Greek, I don't know that it offers a whole lot more enlightenment on here. But he says supplications, which are things that are needed, an entreaty for the things that are needed. Prayers is a spoken request, coming before the Lord with your request. Intercessions is an entreaty on behalf of someone else. And then thanksgivings, I like this one. The word is Eucharista. It says grateful language, gratitude be offered for all men. So the first thing in our life is our prayer life. If you're not connected to God, communicating with Him, then you don't have life. Do you understand that? Life flows from Him. When Adam sinned, it was severed. When Jesus came and redeemed us, it was restored. It was not meant to be the restoration of a destination. It was meant to be the restoration of communion. Communion with our Father. So that's the first thing in our prayer life. And then the first thing in our prayer life should be on behalf of others. On behalf of all men, it says. I know most of you are probably much better cooks than I am. Have you ever tried to follow a recipe and you started with the ingredient list and you just put all the ingredients in the bowl? Okay, we're good. Now what? And then it says, combine the flour and the sugar and then add the eggs and then put, you know, and it tells, and you're like, oh dear, it's all already mixed up. If you don't do the first thing right, it messes up the rest of it, right? I remember in high school being given a test. It was like the first day of, I don't know if it was my junior year in high school, and the teacher gave this test out to everyone, said, I don't want anybody talking. I don't want you looking around. I want you to do this. And it had some ridiculous stuff on it. But the first thing it said was to read all the way through front and back before you start. Pfft, who has time to do that? So it said, the first thing it said, write your name 5 times on your paper. And then the next one is stand up and walk around your desk. And then the next one is lean over and put your eraser on your forehead and your pencil on your desk. Crazy stuff like this. And then, you know what the last one said? Don't do any of these things. Just sit quietly in your chair. So it was very obvious who followed the directions, right? So when Paul says, first of all, this is what you need to do. You need to offer these prayers on behalf of all men. I think it's important that we follow those instructions. Amen? Pray first. Pray for all men. You know, a lot of times we want to pray. We start off with the things that we need. Now, I think in House of the Lord, we have all been taught well that praying for others is an investment. And if you will start there and invest, you can reap a harvest of the things that you need. But some people haven't figured that out yet. So when it's telling us, first of all, to pray, it says, pray for kings and those who are in authority or responsibility. So I do that. I pray for presidents and leaders. If you don't have it, I would encourage you, you can go on the website and get it. Or there are things out here where our declaration that we've made on Wednesday nights, God, you have a plan for man, the nations, the earth, and the ages. As a believer in your truth, I curse and cast down. Go through that if you'd like to, for your prayers for authorities. Because what God wants to do in the earth needs to come through your mouth. And I don't care if they're believers or not, they will be used of God when believers rise up and pray. Okay? I need you to understand that. Whatever's going out there, you can talk about it. I don't know what these stupid people are doing. I don't know who elected these people. I don't know why those people in those countries are so mean and so rude and so evil. That's just awful. Or you can start decreeing, Father, I thank you that the heart of the king is in your hands, and you turn it according to your good pleasure in the way that you will, and anything that the enemy intended for evil through these leaders, you turn it for good. You have the power to say that and decree it and see it begin changing all over the earth. Because he didn't just say for your king, but he said for kings and those who are in authority. So we pray for those all the way down to our local leaders, our mayor, our city council, school board, anything that affects our lives, we lift these up. Now, you ask me, when is first? Does that mean I need to do it in the morning or I need to do it in the evening? I'm going to say pick a time. Because if you want to be Jewish, you know, then the day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. So whatever you want to be your first, pick it. But make sure that daily you are praying for those in authority and decreeing over them. praying wisdom for them. You can pray Ephesians for them, that the eyes of their understanding would be open and flooded with light, that they would follow the ways and the will of God for their lives. And then, after praying for those leaders, I pray for spiritual authorities, for pastors, leaders, teachers, mentors across the earth who are attempting to submit their lives to God and be used. Father, lead them in wisdom. Correct any error in us. Holy Spirit, lead us in truth. Pray for your leaders. If you don't like things that Richard and I are doing, you have a direct audience with God, and we answer directly to him. And so if he agrees with you, he will tell us, and we will change. I am not too proud to say, wow, that didn't work. Let's do something different. If we will all come before our Father and pray for our leaders, I believe we can begin to see a lot of things change. Amen? Amen. Praise God. After I pray for leaders, I pray for those in the body of Christ around the world, and then I pray for the lost. That's just a first thing. For some people, that might be the total summation of their prayer life. I don't know. But you can spend as long or as short as you want to on this. Some days God may take you further into decreeing scripture over and praying for them. And some days you may go through your list and say, okay, what's next, God? Let's move on. But making it a priority to pray for others so that we're investing in them, we're investing in our future. You know, if I pray for Tara and she is strengthened, then when I need to draw on that strength, it'll be there. It blesses me when I'm praying for other people, when I'm lifting up Sister Lou, when I'm lifting up Todd and Savannah, when I'm praying for the people around me, it betters my life. Amen? Amen. So we want to definitely do that, praying for one another, praying for our brothers and sisters. That is an important component of prayer, that we have a heart, a compassion for one another. Okay. We're going to move on to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It's very similar exhortation, but it says, starting in verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So there is a time to come away and to spend time with God. You set it aside. I'm going into my prayer closet, whatever that happens to be, whether it's an actual closet, your bedroom. I know someone that used to go sit in her car for her prayer time because there just wasn't a quiet place in the house. Wherever you have to go to get away, to spend time with God, that is necessary. That is your life source. Okay, but there's another level. Praying all the time, cultivating a habit of an attitude of prayer. I notice I began it on purpose, and now I catch myself just praying in the Spirit. I'm washing dishes. I'm cleaning up stuff. Just cultivating a habit of prayer, letting it flow out of you constantly. I heard one person call it a 24-hour God consciousness, constantly being aware that you are in communion with your Father. He is always with you. You know, we may see our spouse before we go to work, and then after we come home from work, we are together, we're joined, but we're not always with each other. But God is always with us and in us and desiring to flow through us. And did you know that when we pray, it sets the angels loose for activity? The words, and I'm jumping ahead of my notes, but the word says that the angels hearken unto the voice of his word. And when we begin to pray the word, we begin to loose the angels for activity. Someone was sharing that God gave them a vision. And again, I don't just listen to anybody. So when I say someone that I trust, of hundreds, countless angels that were sitting with nothing to do because they had not been commissioned by a believer in the earth. Do you understand the importance of your prayer? The importance of your prayer, and it's something that you can do continually. Praying in the Spirit, praying for others, praising God, keeping yourself tuned in. It says praying in the Spirit. I believe that is as led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit may tell you that Miss Jerry needs peace today. And right then you begin to pray for Miss Jerry. Father, I thank you that peace has already been given on the inside of her. I just call on it to rise up. Or he may tell you, Miss Jerry needs prayer today. And you say, what for, God? It's a need to know thing sometimes, and you don't need to know. So how do I pray for Miss Jerry if I don't know what to pray? You pray in the Spirit in your prayer language. Because Romans tells us that he helps us by praying when we don't know what to pray. He helps, it says, our inability to produce. I can't produce anything in Miss Jerry. I can't even decree to produce anything in her because I don't know what she needs today. But Father, you do. So, and this is what that would look like. God, I thank you for Miss Jerry that you've put her in my heart. I don't know what to pray for her, so I'm going to ask you to let the Holy Spirit partner with me and pray for my sister. I submit to you. Surra masanda la ravetrite bekero posodre de kedidra da shota. And you begin to pray. And when God has put that burden within you, you'll feel it. I guess the best word is it'll begin to churn or just sort of turn over in your belly where your spirit man is. You will sense that something is being done. You pray until that sense is gone and there is peace or joy, sometimes laughter. And then you know, Miss Jerry's good for a while. God, let me know if she needs anything else. I'm right here. That, at its very simplest form, is intercession with the help of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't always give us details, but we have a sense that we need to pray. And so we pray in our prayer language, or we pray by the Spirit as he directs us. Then he says there at Ephesians chapter 6, he says, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Keep alert and watch. It's a sense of watching in the Spirit and being available. I'm convinced that there are times that God has wanted us to pray for someone, but we weren't listening. We weren't tuned in. He says, watch. So times that I can, I will just step aside and pray for a little bit. And it's almost like a scanner that's looking at the horizon. What's going on? And you're submitting yourself for prayer and you're letting the Holy Spirit direct you. And he may show you, pray for something over here. Pray for this person. You are watching in the Spirit and listening so that if he needs someone, he can find someone. And this is no credit to me. It's a credit to training. It's a credit to the Holy Spirit. But do you remember the word that Brother Brad gave about putting Africa inside of me? He said, I looked for an intercessor. Have you seen that in the word before? God said, I looked for someone to stand in the gap, and I found none. God, raise us up. Raise up people who 24 hours a day, I'm cooking dinner, I'm shopping, you're taking care of the kids, but I'm listening. God, you got anything you need me to cover? What do you want me to do for you today, Father? I'm listening in the Spirit. I'm looking at him and letting him direct my attention to whatever's needed. And it might be a family in the church. And it might be somebody's finances. It might be your cousin or your nephew. Or it could be a leader or someone in another country. There are many, many, many things that need covering by the body of Christ that need us to speak, to decree the will of God, to loose the angels to work. How many people does he find listening? If you could only listen when you've got that, 30 to 42 minutes in your prayer closet, well, praise God for that. But you can go further. You can go deeper in listening so that whenever he wants to use us, we are watching. We are watching. It's like it's a sense of the watchman on the wall. Now, there are offices of that and callings of that, but there is a place for that for everyone in the body of Christ to be watching and listening, keeping alert and watching. When I pray, a lot of times what I'll do, and it's helpful to hear how different people do things. I think your training, your raising, your temperament, we're all different, and we all do things differently. And I've heard ministers, you know, they say, do what God tells you. And it's like, okay, I'm not sure it was that. And then Brother Larry Huggins shared one time, he said, when I'm praying, I will see myself doing something. That's what I know God's telling me to do. And I was like, oh, a picture. I get a picture on the inside, and that's how I know what God wants me to do. Now, you might see handwriting on the wall. You might hear a sentence in your head. God might have you write it out. There are a lot of different ways he speaks to us, but usually for each person, you're going to see a similarity through your life. And for me, I'll just see a picture when I'm praying, and I see me doing something. It's like, okay, God, that's what I'm supposed to do. Maybe it's laying hands on somebody, giving something to someone. And so just for a way of example, when I pray, when I begin to pray to yield myself to cover what God wants, I've covered my declarations, I've prayed for leaders, covered the things that were in my heart for the family, and God, I just want to spend time with you now. I don't know what you want to do. What I will generally do is close my eyes and imagine myself kneeling before the throne. Your imagination is not a bad thing. It is meant to help connect you with the things that you can't see with your physical eyes. It becomes a problem when it begins being used more by the enemy, picturing the evil and fantasy and weird dragons and things that we shouldn't let our kids spend that much time with. I'm throwing a plug in there again for parenting. But your imagination is powerful when it is based on what you've seen in the Word, what you've heard of God. So there are pictures that we have in Revelation of the throne, of how beautiful, how glorious it is. It's lofty. God is seated on the throne and clothed in splendor. There's thunder and lightning and smoke and angels. And I picture myself kneeling before that throne, and usually I just see sandals. Does God have sandals on? I don't know, but I got to picture something. Picturing bare feet is just weird for me. So I picture sandals. I picture myself before the throne, and I'm looking to him. I'm not saying, God, I want to pray for this. I want to pray for this. I'm looking to him. And as I begin to pray in the Spirit while I'm seeing him, he will direct me in an area. He may just say, pray in the Spirit. And I just continue to picture him. A lot of times he'll bring a face before me and say, this is who I need you to cover. He has brought Africa before me, Botswana before me. I will see the shape of that continent. Fortunately, I looked it up and I recognize it now. I will see that continent and I will begin to pray. And I will pray until that burden lifts and there is peace there. Okay? That is, again, the heart of intercession. Yielding yourself, listening, being alert, watching, and praying and letting the Holy Spirit direct you. Now he says, with strong purpose and perseverance. There are some assignments to pray that may last more than a day. They may last more than a week, more than a month. It depends on what God's having you cover, and he may just have you cover a little bit of it every day. Because what's happening in Botswana is not necessarily going to be birthed in a day at once. It's going to be a little bit at a time. And then sometimes it's more than one person can do, and God will bring others alongside. That's why we're coming together on Tuesday nights. God, what you're doing in House of the Lord is bigger than one person can carry. So he's having us come together to do it. But understand that it is the Holy Spirit that is praying. The Holy Spirit makes intercession. There are people that will give you a business card and say, I am an intercessor. You may as well have a card that says, I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome to the club. Because God will use whoever will yield. It's not an office that has to be recognized and confirmed and promoted and papers given and something to engrave on the front of your Bible. It's whosoever will. If we will listen, the Holy Spirit will pray. He is looking. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord said, I looked for an intercessor. He is looking for those who will yield to and cover these things. It's not glamorous. Generally, most of the intercession that God uses me in, I'm sitting on the floor in my bathroom because that's the only room that nobody else is in at the moment. Nobody sees that. There's no, I saw you on TV interceding, you know. It's something that you do in secret, something that you do in the secret place. God will reward you, but it's not a thing to be, that's me. I'm an intercessor and you're not. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit will use whoever will submit to being used. Let me see. Just a little bit more about that and then we'll be done. Understanding that intercession says the Spirit himself intercedes for us. He is praying through you with groanings too deep for words. There are times that that burden of intercession is so heavy, there's just nothing will come out but weeping. But you are carrying a burden from the heart of God to a place of being taken care of. And you feel it as you go through that. But it is the Holy Spirit that is making the intercession. He searches the heart of God. He knows the mind of the Spirit. And then he reveals it through us in prayer because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The last thing I want you to understand there is in Romans 8 and verse 26 that I've quoted from a little bit. I haven't read it, but it says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. If you look at that word help, there are basically three Greek words that come together to form that word help, okay? The first one means to take hold together, okay? That's like, to take hold together, to come alongside. We've heard the comfort of the alongside. Another of the Greek words means with. In other words, it's not just the Holy Spirit. He is taking hold together with you. And then the third word means against. So the fullness of that word helps is to take hold together with against. The Holy Spirit does not do the praying for us. God did not send the Holy Spirit to do these things. He sent the Holy Spirit to help us do these things. So let me ask you a question. If we do not decide to partner with the Holy Spirit in this endeavor, will it get done? No. No. It's just like if you choose not to witness to your neighbor, Jesus is not going to come down and do it for you. He told you to do it. Remember, why do we pray? Because we are in charge of the earth. God gave man dominion. So we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is there to come alongside with us against whatever the enemy is trying to do in your home, in your church, in your city, your nation, in the world. It is our responsibility to partner with. Now, we don't do the entirety of the work. We yield ourselves to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. And in that way, we are partnering in seeing God's will done. The Holy Spirit wasn't sent to do our praying for us, but through us, cooperating with us to bring the will of the Father to pass by our praying it into the earth. Amen. I think I'm going to stop there, and we'll pick up at a later time as God leads with the rest of it. But I hope you understand the importance of doing your part. We're not puppets. The importance of letting God lead us as parents, as mothers, blessed mothers on Mother's Day, and as intercessors. Our part is very important. You are not insignificant. If you do not rise up and do these things, there will be things that are not covered. Now, hopefully God is able to find someone else who will yield when others don't. But there's the danger of being left out of the next move of God because you didn't participate and praying it in. We'll see you in heaven. You might get there a little sooner than the rest. But I don't know about you, but I am thrilled that God would choose to work through me, to use me as a vessel of manifesting his glory in the earth. Amen? All right.
Praise the Lord. I want to just one thing that she said right there at the end, one concept. The Holy Spirit will not do it without us. You know, I've used the illustration lots and lots of times that be working on the car and trying to get that bolt through that one hole and to get it screwed into the block. And the way that I got to put my arm and my hand, I can't get it. It's very, very difficult. It won't go in there while I'm holding the alternator up with this hand, trying to thread the bolt with this hand. I can't do it anymore. So I pray, probably what I should have done to start with. I say, Jesus, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. But you know what? Every time I said that, that bolt stayed right there on the floor where I left it. I have to pick it up again, put my hand up there again, and try it again. Now, so far, every time it's worked, I've been able to do things that I wasn't able to do. But it didn't get done without my arm reaching up in there. The Holy Spirit, it's kind of like, for you Marvel people, it's kind of like Iron Man's suit, except it's on the inside of us instead of the outside. He still does the punch, but all the gears and the mechanism and the motors and all that provides supernatural power, extra power. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's how the Holy Spirit helps us, is we get ready to throw a punch. It's not just a boom, it's a boom. And people go flying everywhere, you know, and things like that. I don't know why God shows me things through Marvel. But anyway, he comes along beside. He's our helper. He's not our doer. He's our helper. So don't, it's not an easy way out. Holy Spirit, go do this. Holy Spirit, I give you free rein to do this. No. You're going to do it, and he's going to go with you. And it'll get done. It'll get done. Praise God. I'm glad that y'all came in today. It's good to see everybody. Good to have you join us on live stream. We thank you for watching. Stand with me here in the sanctuary. Let's just offer a praise to God. Father, we thank you for this time that we've been together. We thank you that your anointing is here because your word has gone forth. Father, you said that you would follow your word with signs and miracles and wonders. And Father, we just thank you that if there's anyone here that needs a touch in their life of any kind, Father God, whether it's physical or financial, Father, I thank you and I release your anointing now to touch each heart, each life, to meet each need. I lift them up before you, Father, and I say that the people of House of the Lord Fellowship Church, every family, every household, every member, every individual walks in your divine favor, in your divine peace, in your divine equipping and provision. And Father, I just give praise, glory, and honor to you that the word we heard today will strengthen our hearts and be planted in us and make a change in us so that we are different having been in your presence and hearing your word this day. Father, we give glory and honor and praise to you for the mothers. We thank you that you are blessing them today, Father God, for the things that they have done, for the work that they have put in raising up godly children and bringing to you, Father God, your family. We thank you for it, Father God. Thank you for it. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I call you all blessed. I say you are surrounded with divine favor, with the presence and peace of God that leads you and guides you in everything you do, everything you put your hand to, and everywhere you go, you are prosperous and successful. And the world sees you and glorifies God because they see your good works. And because of the goodness of God, men are turned toward Him and repent and become the family of God. You are blessed. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Go with God. Prayer meeting on Tuesday at 6:30. Wednesday assembly at 7 o'clock. We'll see you there.